We will start now. Please take your seats. Good morning, everybody. The 16th meeting of the 8th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues is now called to order. Distinguished members of the forum, distinguished observers and friends, this morning we shall take up the last item on the agenda, adoption of the report of the forum on its 8th session. Before proceeding to take action on the draft proposals, I shall give the floor to the Secretary of the Forum to make a statement on program budget implications on the draft decisions and recommendations. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This statement is made in accordance with Rule 28 of the Rules of Procedure of the Functional Commissions of the Economic and Social Council and relates to draft decisions and recommendations of the forum contained in document E/C:209/L2, Rev 1, L3, L4, L5, L7, and two decisions, L8 and L9. Under the terms of draft recommendations contained in paragraph 14 and 23 of document L2 Rev 1, paragraphs 20 and 21 of the document L5, and paragraphs 9 of document L7, the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues would appoint or extend mandates of its special rapporteurs to conduct studies to prepare reports on various issues. It is recalled that in accordance with the established practice, the special rapporteurs are selected from the members of the forum and usually provide their services at no cost to the organization, and the results of their work are disseminated through postings on the Departments of Economic and Social Affairs website and therefore entail no additional financial requirements. Under the terms of paragraph 15 of the draft recommendations contained in document E/C:19/209/L2 Rev 1, the Permanent Forum would decide to organize an international expert group meeting without financial implications on Indigenous peoples' development with culture and identity. Articles 3 and 32 of the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which will link the issues of the global economic crisis and the climate change crisis to Indigenous people. It is the understanding of the Secretariat that these expert group meetings is the same three-day international expert group meetings which is requested in draft decision 1 contained in document L8 and explained below. 4. Under the terms of the draft decision 1 and 2 contained in documents E/C:19/208, L8 and L9 respectively, the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues recommends that the Economic and Social Council would A. decide to authorize a three-day international expert group meeting on the theme Indigenous Peoples, Development with Culture and Identity, Article 3 and 32 of the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and request that the results of the meeting be reported to the forum at its 9th session in 2010. B. decides that the 9th session of the forum be held from 19 to 30th April 2010. 5. As regards decision 1, it is understood that the intention of the forum is to decide on the priority theme of one of the two expert group meetings, as programmed under subprogram 3, Social Policy and Development of Section 9, Economic and Social Affairs of the proposed program budget for the biennium 2010-2011. Therefore, no changes in the program narrative of the proposed program budget for the biennium 2010-2011 are required. No additional resources are requested for implementation of these activities. 6. As regards decision 2, it has been confirmed that the meetings of the 9th session of the forum could be held in New York in April 2010. The related dates and venues will be reflected in the 2010 calendar or conferences and meetings of the United Nations. No additional programmatic and budgetary implications are envisaged in this regard. Number 7. The forum is also expected to adopt a number of recommendations contained in draft documents specified above that may entail program budget implications for various entities of the United Nations system. The attention of the forum is drawn to this, in this connection to paragraph 1B of the General Assembly Resolution 57/191, requesting establishment of a voluntary fund for a forum for the purpose of funding the implementation of recommendations made by the forum through the Economic and Social Council in line with paragraph 2A of Council Resolution 2000/22, as well as funding activities under its mandate, as defined in paragraph 2B and C of the same resolution. Therefore, it is expected that the funding of the implementation and recommendations made by the forum would be met through voluntary contributions. 8. In summary, the decisions and recommendations of the forum contained in documents E/C-19/2009/L2REV1, L3, L4, L5, L7, L8, and L9 do not entail financial implications for the proposed program budget for the biennium 2010 and 2011. I thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank our Secretary, Mr. Alasania, for informing us about these budgetary implications. And this is, we usually go through this because we have to make sure that it's clear what of our forthcoming activities is going to be funded by the United Nations. And if that's not clear, it will take a lot of discussions when it goes into the ECOSOC. So I thank you very much for clarifying those. I would like now to ask our rapporteur, Mr. Michael Dodson, to introduce the draft decisions and recommendations and inform members of the forum of any proposed changes as agreed during our informal consultations. Then we shall take action on those draft decisions and recommendations. If I hear no objection, the forum shall proceed accordingly. I now give the floor to the rapporteur to introduce the draft proposals. You have the floor, Mr. Dodson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, everyone. Madam Chair, I want to introduce a report of our 8th session with the following amendments. Firstly, I'm referring to document E/C-19, L2/REV1. In paragraph 3 of L2/REV1, in the final sentence of that paragraph, I intend to make the following amendments. Where it says the forum also notes that, I propose to delete the words "note that" and insert the word "urges". The forum also urges the World Bank. And then the next four words, "has been given no", I propose to delete those words and insert the words "to provide". So the forum also urges the World Bank to provide additional operational budget to, and then I want to delete the word manage, to ensure and insert the words to, insert the words ensure adequate management of. So that last sentence will read as follows. The forum also urges the World Bank to provide additional operational budget to ensure adequate management of this large increase in infrastructure spending. And at the end of that sentence in paragraph number 3, I propose to add the following paragraph, following sentence. The Permanent Forum reiterates its recommendation that the World Bank revise its operational safeguard policies to ensure consistency with relevant provisions of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Now, Madam Chair, the next proposal is an addition of a new paragraph on page 2 of L2 Rev 1 under the heading Economic and Social Development. Insert a new paragraph before the paragraph presently numbered 6 as follows. The Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues welcomes the measures undertaken by several countries which aims, inter alia, to explore and develop alternative sources of income, significantly reduce the exploitation of natural resources, enhance conservation of biological diversity, and establish measures in favour of Indigenous peoples in voluntary isolation, such as the national initiative undertaken by Ecuador titled Yasuni ITT Initiative. The Permanent Forum recommends such measures respect the right to free, prior and informed consent of the Indigenous peoples concerned. The next proposal for document L2-Rev1 is on page 3, paragraph 15. I propose that we delete paragraph 15. It is picked up in the draft decision just mentioned by the Secretary. On page 4 of document L2 Rev 1, after paragraph numbered 23 and before the heading Indigenous Women, I propose we insert the following new paragraph. The Permanent Forum notes that representatives of extractive industries, although invited, were unable to attend the expert group meeting on extractive industries in Manila, Philippines, 27-29 March 2009. The forum also notes that the International Council on Mining and Metals, ICMM in brackets, is in the process of developing a set of voluntary guidelines for the industry for engagement with Indigenous peoples. The forum invites the ICMM at the conclusion of the development of the guidelines to forward a copy to the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues Secretariat. The forum decides to forward a copy of the Manila report, the Manila Expert Group Meeting report, to the ICMM for their consideration. In paragraph 27 of document L2 Rev 1, I propose the following changes. In the first sentence, sorry, Madam Chair, there's only one sentence. In the first line of paragraph 27, it reads, in the context of the process of the high level panel on, I propose that we delete the words process of the high level panel on, and in the second line, which says system-wide coherence, comma, to delete the capitalised C's, C on coherence, and insert a lowercase c. So that first part of the paragraph would read, in the context of the United Nations system-wide coherence. In the context of the United Nations system-wide coherence. In the final proposal for document L2-Rev1 is to insert the following paragraph after paragraph 33 and before paragraph 34 as follows. The Permanent Forum welcomes the fact that the principles and rules contained in the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples have been integrated into the new constitution of the plurinational state of Bolivia. Which was ratified in a referendum held on 25 January 2009. In paragraph 34, numbered 34, on page 6 of document L2-Rev1, I propose the following. After the word Australia in the first line and before the word for, I want to include the following words. And Colombia. And at the end of that first line, I propose to delete the word its and substitute the word there. And in the first word of the next line, position, pluralise that word. So it'll be positions. So that recommendation, paragraph will now read, the Permanent Forum recognises and commends Australia and Colombia for changing their positions, etc. And that
somewhere else. Yeah. It's gone into
Sorry, Madam Chair, I'm just the Secretary has brought to my attention another paragraph. Which I think we've put into L3. I'm just checking. Please bear with me. Is that it? That's it. L2-Rev1. Yeah, no. No, sorry, Madam Chair. It was a new paragraph to go in after 34, as follows. This is in L2-Rev1. As follows. The Permanent Forum notes the declaration on the rights of Indigenous peoples is a human rights instrument irrespective of the position of individual states and the Permanent Forum expects that its endorsement will further imply its utilisation as an effective guide for domestic public policy, law and practice regarding Indigenous people's rights in consultation and cooperation with Indigenous peoples themselves. Madam Chair, I now turn to document E/C19/2009/L3. My first proposal is to insert after present paragraph number one the following new paragraph. The Permanent Forum strongly supports the position expressed in the outcome document of the Durban Review Conference that states should take all necessary measures to implement the rights of Indigenous peoples.
Where was I going to put that? I'll put it at the end, I suppose.
On page 2 of document L3, in paragraph 12, in the fourth line, the second word is five, in five instances. I proposed to delete the word five and substitute the word some. So the sentence will read, the Permanent Forum also observes that in some instances the committee demanded, etc. After paragraph 12, I propose to insert the following new paragraph. The Permanent Forum notes the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues mission to Bolivia and Paraguay, and thanks the governments of both countries for their invitations. This mission came about following the Permanent Forum's recommendation regarding the situation of forced labour of Guarani communities at its seventh session. The Permanent Forum welcomes the mission as a good practice and decides to publish the reports of the mission as official documents.
UN Country Council follow up the recommendations?
Yes. The forum urges the UN country teams to follow up the recommendations of these reports and suggests to the relevant governments to report on the implementation of these recommendations at the 9th session of the forum in 2010. In paragraph 18 on page 3 of L3, in the third line, which reads Convention on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, this is our dream, Madam Chair. But the Convention on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples does not exist. So I want to delete the words Indigenous Peoples and substitute the words the child. So it should read, the Permanent Forum reiterates its previous recommendations that those states that have not already done so adopt or endorse, where applicable, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, etc. In the next paragraph, numbered 19, in the second line, which reads, Asian nations, ASEAN, to establish its human rights mechanism, I want to delete the word its and substitute the word a regional. So that sentence would now read, the Permanent Forum welcomes the effort of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, to establish a regional human rights mechanism and offers its expertise and cooperation in this matter.
Can I do that? Yeah, this country teams.
At the end of the document, L3, after paragraph 19, I propose that we insert the following new paragraph. The Permanent Forum joins international concern regarding violent actions by some states against Indigenous peoples for asserting their customary rights to their lands and territories. And that, Madam Chair, concludes my suggestions for document E-C-19-2009-L3. Document E-C-19-2009-L4, I have no proposals to amend. Document E-C-19-2009-L5, 09/L5, I propose to insert the following new paragraph after paragraph presently numbered 12. The Permanent Forum urges states with Indigenous peoples whose livelihoods and cultures are based upon sea, river or lake fisheries to recognise fishing rights that will build a solid foundation for securing and developing local Indigenous communities and their cultures. In paragraph 17 on page 3 of document L5, in the third line, after the bracketed acronym UNESCO, I propose to insert the words, the word and acronym, and UNEP. So it will read, the Permanent Forum recommends that the Arctic Council formally engage with the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, and the United Nations Environment Programme, UNEP in brackets, to jointly follow up, etc. On page 4 of document L5, paragraph number 25 and paragraph number 26, I propose to delete and substitute the following new paragraph. So delete 25 and 26 and insert this paragraph. The Permanent Forum notes that various UN treaty bodies have repeatedly called on the governments of Finland and Sweden to clarify and affirm the Sami people's rights to land, including fishing, hunting, and reindeer grazing rights. The forum urges Finland and Sweden to take actions in accordance with these recommendations without further delay. The Permanent Forum further calls on Norway to reach an agreement with the Sami Parliament on the Draft Mineral Act. Madam Chair, that concludes my comments about document L5. I now turn to document L7, E/C19/2009/L7. And no doubt the really sharp ones amongst our delegations and notice there's no L6. That's coming, but not yet. L6 is the comments by the Permanent Forum on the dialogue with the UN agencies, which will not be available until after this meeting. In document L7, in paragraph number 3, in the second line, after the words Winnipeg, Canada, in, appears the words and numeral April 2009. I propose to delete the date April 2009 and insert the date 9 November 2008. 9 November 2008. So the permanent, it should read now, the Permanent Forum notes the first World Sports Congress that was held in Winnipeg, Canada, on 9 November 2008. On 9 November 2008, with the support, etc. I haven't got this. Someone's going to have to come up with that, I think. Yeah. Future work. Yeah. When am I going to insert that? I'll put that at the end. In paragraph number 7 on page 2 of document L5, I want to insert the following words after the word development, which is the second word in the second line. And other organisations. And in the first line, I wanted to delete the words welcomes the proposal by, and insert the word recommends. So the, and at, in the third line after the word pastoralists, add the words and hunting and gathering. So the paragraph will now read, the Permanent Forum recommends the International Fund for Agricultural Development delete the word to hold an expert workshop on the the Permanent Forum recommends the International Fund for Agricultural Development and other organisations hold an expert workshop on the contribution to development of pastoralist and hunting and gathering cultures. In paragraph numbered 8, in the second last line, after the word states, insert the words Indigenous Peoples Organisations. So it will read, such as high participation of states, Indigenous Peoples Organisations, civil society, the United Nations system, and intergovernmental organisations. In paragraph number 9, in line 5, the words bracketed to be inserted, are to be deleted. And the word A, or the letter A, is also to be deleted straight after the brackets. And the word member is to be pluralised, so S. So that last sentence will read as follows. Therefore, the forum decides to appoint Mr. Carlos Mamani Condori and Mr. Bartolome Clavero, members of the forum, then insert the words as special rapporteurs to conduct a study without financial implications on its implementation. And add to the end of the paragraph, after the word rights, and to submit a report to the 9th session of the forum in 2010. So the sentence will now read, therefore, the forum decides to appoint Mr. Carlos Mamani Condori and Mr. Bartolome Clavero, members of the forum, as special rapporteurs, to conduct a study without financial implications on its implementation, taking into account, inter alia, the considerations and recognition of Mother Earth rights, and to submit a report to the 9th session of the forum in 2010. Where's that going to go?
It goes at the end. At the end of that.
Yes, it works.
But there was also one on mining.
Which was the mining one?
That comes to World Health Organization. Is that there?
Where?
This one here.
This is here.
Oh, it's a discovery. Doctrine of discovery.
Yes. Can we have a 5-minute break?
Yes, we'll just have a short break because there is some state, some recommendation that needs to be finalized here.
Which one are you talking about?
This one was the one on the mining. Thank you.
Okay, please take your seats again. We will continue.
Okay. Is that on? Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair and colleagues, for giving us a short period of time to clarify our documentation. At the end of document, you'll recall we're dealing with document L7, which is relates to future work. At the end of document L7, after paragraph 9, I propose to insert the following two new paragraphs. Firstly, the Permanent Forum recommends that the World Health Organization conduct a study on the health effects on Indigenous peoples throughout the world caused by radioactive poisoning
caused by uranium mining,
dumping of radioactive waste on and nuclear testing dumping of radioactive waste and nuclear testing on Indigenous held lands and territories, and provide a report to the 9th session of the forum in 2010. Second new paragraph after that last one. The Permanent Forum decides to appoint as Special Rapporteur Ms. Tonya Ganella Krishna, a member of the forum, to conduct a preliminary study on the impact of the international legal construct known as the Doctrine of Discovery on Indigenous peoples that has served as the foundation of the violation of their human rights and to report thereon to the forum at its ninth session in 2010. And Madam Chair, if I may be permitted to go back in the document L7 to paragraph 4 in the third last sentence, at the end of that sentence, the words in parenthesis, addressing racism against Indigenous peoples, I propose to insert the word these words after the word addressing. The elimination of, so it will read addressing the elimination of racism against Indigenous peoples. Addressing the elimination of racism against Indigenous peoples. Madam Chair, I have no proposals for document E-C19-2009L9 and similarly for document E-C19-2009L8. And the draft report of the forum on its eighth session will be contained in document E-C19-2009L10. Chapter 1, Section A, entitled Draft Decisions Recommended by the Forum for Adoption by the Council, will include the draft decisions recommended by the Permanent Forum to the Economic and Social Council for adoption. Draft decisions are contained in L8 and L9. Chapter 1, Section B, entitled Matters Brought to the Attention of the Council, will include draft recommendations. We have to adopt them now. Then I can finish this. Yeah, but it says draft recommendations just adopted.
Yeah, we haven't adopted that.
Yeah. So what do I say? I'll just say this.
Yeah, you have. No, don't go to draft report at all.
Hold on.
Because we have to first we have to adopt.
Okay. I'll come back to this. Sorry, Madam Chair, just seeking a clarification from the Secretary on the procedure we... Yes. Yeah, well, Vicky should do that.
Yes.
Yes. So I hand back to you, Madam Chair.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Mick Dodson, the Rapporteur of the Permanent Forum. We would now proceed to the adoption of the L documents that have been presented by our rapporteur with all the amendments that he has included and the changes. Before I go into that, I would like to see whether any of the colleagues from the Permanent Forum would like to make some comments or question some of the changes that have been presented. We all agreed on this in our informal sessions, so I take it that there is no question that will be raised by the members. Okay? Okay, so if there is no question or comment, I would like now to proceed to the formal process of adopting these various L documents. So, first, we will go first. We will address it one by one. we will look at the document. I would propose now that we will formally... Yes, Ms. Tanya?
Madam Chair, I was just wondering, just a quick question on process. I was wondering if there could be any comments from the floor. Would we be able to open it for that? Just for clarification so the delegates know what the process is.
Yes, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. The process that we have always adopted in the forum is that this is the report of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, which means this is the report of the 16 members of the Permanent Forum. And at the last day of each session, the members of the Permanent Forum are the ones who officially adopt the report, because this is our report. And we are not, as in the past, we don't open the floor for comments from the observers, whether from the states, from the indigenous peoples, or the UN agencies, bodies, and funds. So I'd like to clarify that that has been our procedure, and this is what we are going to follow now. Okay? Okay, so let's proceed to the adoption, formal adoption of the report. Okay, the report with the amendments that were presented by our rapporteur, E/C19/2009/L2/Rev1. I take it that there are no objections to the report, including the amendments presented by the rapporteur. So we will formally, we all agree to formally adopt this document. Seeing no objection, this document, E/C19/2009/L2/Rev1, and the amendments thereon, is adopted by the members of the forum. It is so decided. Okay. We will now look into the document E/C19/2009/L3. I take it that the members, all the members of the forum, agree with all the amendments in this document, and therefore we are adopting this report and the amendments presented by our special rapporteur. It's so adopted. It's adopted now. The next document is E/C19/2009/L4. This is on the provisional agenda for the ninth session. We have no comments here. We all agreed to this. So this document is adopted. The next document is E/C19/2009/L5 on the recommendations of the Permanent Forum on the Arctic, with all the amendments that have been presented by the chair, which we all agreed upon. I take it that we are formally adopting this report. Yes, Mr. Lars, under Smear. Yeah.
Related to Article 7, no, Article 19. During the half-day discussion about the Arctic, there was some comment from the European Commission concerning the seal ban, and it was also pronounced that this ban doesn't effect on seal products. The ban is not directed to seal products that have been traditionally hunted by Inuit and other indigenous communities. And it's also said in the Commission Arctic policy that the European Commission is going to conduct a dialogue with indigenous and other local communities traditionally engaged in hunting of seals. So that was my only comments. Thank you.
So you were just wanting to clarify that it's clear to us that the ban does not apply to the seal production based on traditional practices.
Yes, I was repeating what the Commission had pronounced earlier and what is also contained in their statement. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so this is just to clarify this point because it might not be very clear, but Mr. Lars Anders Behr wants to make clear that we do understand that this does not apply to those that are hunted and traded by traditional practices. So, okay, so if that's just a clarification and you are not putting any amendment, then we can proceed to adopt this document, E/C19/2009/L5. It is adopted. As mentioned by Mr. Mick Dodson earlier, we don't have L6 because L6 is going to contain the conclusions that we will further, that we will develop on the dialogue with the UN agencies and funds, no? And so this is going to be finished very soon, but it's not here, so don't get confused that we don't have L6. We now move on to L7, E/C19/2009/L7, and this is on future work. With all the amendments that was proposed by Mr. Mick Dodson, we will adopt this report. It is adopted. And finally, we move on now to the adoption of the draft report, and I will give the floor back to Mr. Mick Dodson. You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. before I mention the draft report, I should advise members and delegates that those who are particularly sharp will notice there's no L1 either. L1 is the program of work of the session, of this session, which was adopted by us on the first day. So the draft report of the forum on this eighth session is contained in document E/C19/2009/L10. Chapter 1, Section A, is entitled Draft Decisions Recommended by the Forum for Adoption by the Council. It includes the draft decisions recommended by the Permanent Forum to the Economic Social Council for adoption. And the draft decisions are contained in L8 and L9. Chapter 1, Section B, entitled Matters Brought to the Attention of the Council, includes the draft recommendations that have just been adopted as orally amended by the Forum. This section includes the draft recommendations contained in L2, Rev 1, L3, L4, L5 and L7. Chapter 2 to 4 concern the proceedings of the 8th session of the Forum. There will be one annex to the report which will include a list of participants. The list of pre-session documents is contained in document E/C19/2009/INF/1. This will be updated by the Secretariat to include the additional documents issued in the course of this current session. Madam Chair, I wish to recommend that the report as introduced, be adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Mick Dodson, for his statement regarding our draft report, which is contained in E/C19/2009/L8. Are there any comments from the members of the forum on this draft report? Yes, Ms. Tanya Gonella Frischner, you have the floor.
Madam Chair, thank you for recognizing me. I would like to make just a couple of comments. And as the North American representative, I would like to thank all of my colleagues on the permanent forum for their incredibly hard work and the work of the Secretariat for doing this this amazing amount of work and having it ready by today, and the diligence that it took to be prepared for everyone for today. But just some brief comments. Madam Chair, we are getting ready for the future here, and we're getting ready with the future of all Indigenous peoples, and we're talking about the future of the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. And we are moving ahead boldly and strongly, and we're looking for everyone to come together in partnership. And we're taking some bold steps, that is true, but we're hoping that we can do it together with everyone, and do it in a way where we look at this declaration and we look at how it will work on a regional level for everyone. Each region will have its own interpretation and its own way of working with this declaration, and we are respectful of that. And we know it will be different for every region, but we have great hope, and we want to, of course, work together. So, Madam Chair, before we accept our final report, I just wanted to make those final comments about this new living document that we are all looking forward to doing together, and to doing in a good way and in a positive way. And this is new ground for all of us, especially the permanent forum, and we are figuring it out step by step, and we are asking for the help and the assistance of everyone along the way, and the partnership and working together in a good way. With one mind, as the Haudenosaunee say, we come together in a good mind and with one mind. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Tonya. Okay, before I will open the floor afterwards when we finally adopt the report, no? So we'll just go through this formal process of adopting the report, the draft report contained in document L10, no? So if may I take it that there are no members of the forum who would like to make amendments to this report, and that we accept the report contained in the draft report contained in E/C19/2009/L10. Yes? I hear no objection. The report of the 8th session is thereby adopted. Yes, would you like to say something? Yes, I will now open the floor to first the members of the forum to make their make some brief statements if they so wish before we open. We also ask the observers, in particular the chair of the Global Indigenous Peoples Caucus, some representatives of the interagency support, the UN programs, bodies, and funds, and also some representatives of the state if they would like to make brief statements. But for now, I'm opening the floor first to the members of the permanent forum. So, Mr. Mick Dodson, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to express my deep gratitude to all my colleagues the members of the forum for their patience and assistance and helpful suggestions during what, from time to time, is a difficult task of putting the report together. But I've been the beneficiary of cooperation that's been respectful and fair. I also want to thank all those delegations who made valuable suggestions to us about the report, and particularly the many recommendations that came to us from the floor. Not all of these, it's not possible to get all of these things into the report, unfortunately. It would be a very, very long document if we did, and we have some rules around what we accept and don't accept. And generally, you know, one of the rules is if recommendations are repeats from previous years, generally we don't restate them, we don't reiterate them. And finally, Madam Chair, two final things I must say. I want to thank you and the co-chairs for getting through our business during the course of this session and chairing the session so ably, all of you. And finally, this time it truly is finally, I want to thank our hard-working, professional members of the Secretariat for their enormous contributions to the task of putting the report together. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's really very crucial that we also have a very good rapporteur. This is the most difficult job in this process because the rapporteur is the one that has to really absorb all these different recommendations and suggest how we will proceed in working all this out. So let me thank you, Mr. Rapporteur, for all the hard work also that you have done. I would like to call now on Mr. Hassan Iqbal Qassam, who would like to say a few words.
Estimate Mazif Loan, أود بداية أن أشكركم جميعا على مساهمتكم الفعالة في إنهاء في الانتهاء إلى هذه النتائج الهامة. وأود أن أهنئ الجميع على نجاح هذه الدورة. فهي ناجحة 100%. ليس هناك ترجمة؟
There's no translation. Can we...
هل هناك ترجمة؟
Okay, can you start again and we'll...
نعم، هناك ترجمة الآن؟
Yes.
استماعيت مازول في اللون. أود أن أعبر عن سروري في نهاية هذا اللقاء بالنجاح الكبير لهذه الدورة الثامنة لمنتدى الأمم المتحدة للشعوب الأصلية. وإنني سعيد جدا أن أرى الكثير من الشباب من شباب الشعوب الأصلية يحضروا في هذه الدورة إلى جانب وكذلك شباب الحكومات إلى جانب الفاعلين الذين لعبوا دورا في إنجاز هذا المسلسل الهام للأمم المتحدة. طبعا لقد استمعنا إلى الكثير من الآلام والكثير من الآمال وننتظر الآن الفعل العمل من أجل إنجاز أو من أجل تفعيل شراكة العقد العالمي الثاني للشعوب الأصلية بخصوص كل القضايا. وذلك أنه رغم التقدم الحاصل على المستوى الرمزي داخل الأمم المتحدة بالاعتراف بالشعوب الأصلية وباعتماد إعلان الأمم المتحدة حول حقوق الشعوب الأصلية، ورغم التقدم الحاصل في الكثير من بلدان العالم بشأن الاعتراف بهويات ولغات وثقافات الشعوب الأصلية، فإن ذلك يظل مجرد حبر على ورق إذا لم تكن هناك تنفيذ لهذه المعايير الجديدة حول حقوق الشعوب الأصلية. إن الالتزامات الدولية للحكومات تقتضي في الواقع أن تنتقل من الاعترافات الرمزية إلى العمل الفعلي من أجل التجاوب مع مطالب الشعوب الأصلية، فلا يزال هناك العديد من المظالم، لا تزال هناك العديد من المشاكل بالنسبة للشعوب الأصلية، لا تزال هناك شعوب محرومة من كل الحقوق كما ثبت لنا من خلال التقارير المقدمة إلى هذه الدورة. لكن هناك لدينا آمال كبيرة في أن تقوم أغلب الحكومات إن لم يكن كلها بالتنفيذ التزاماتها الدولية المنصوص عليها في الاتفاقيات الدولية بشأن حقوق الإنسان، وذلك مع الأخذ بعين الاعتبار أن إعلان الأمم المتحدة لحقوق الشعوب الأصلية جاء ليمدد التمتع بتلك الحقوق كاملة إلى الشعوب الأصلية. طبعا هناك مخاطر جديدة، وأكبرها يأتي الآن من التغيير المناخي ومن سوق الكربون. ففي عدد من الدول، وأريد أن أذكر إفريقيا الآن بهذا الخصوص، عدد من الدول الإفريقية مهتمة كثيرا بسوق الكربون، ولكن بدلا أن تهتم في نفس الوقت بحقوق الشعوب الأصلية فإن عددا من الشعوب الأصلية طردت من أراضيها، وهناك مخططات للاستيلاء على الأراضي والغابات. وإذا تجمعت مخاطر سوق الكربون ومخاطر التغيير المناخي، فإن حقوق الشعوب الأصلية سيظل الاهتمام بها رمزيا فقط إذا لم تلتزم الدول مباشرة بنقل المعايير الواردة في إعلان حقوق الشعوب الأصلية إلى الدساتير كما فعلت بوليفيا مثلا، والقوانين وكل الممارسات في الداخل، مع السماح للشعوب الأصلية بل مع تمكين الشعوب الأصلية من حقوقها في المشاركة في التخطيط والتقرير وكذلك المتابعة. وأعتقد أن الدورة القادمة التي سيكون موضوعها الرئيسي التنمية مع الهوية والثقافة ستكون مقياسا لما ستلتزم به الحكومات خلال السنوات القادمة، لأننا بدون هذا الالتزام بتنفيذ الواجبات الملقاة على عاتقها دوليا فإن العالم مهدد بخطر سوق الكربون وبخطر التغيير المناخي. ولا أعتقد أن سوق الكربون سينقذنا من مشاكل التغيير المناخي إذا لم تكن هناك احترام لحقوق الشعوب الأصلية ولحقوق الأرض في العالم. شكرا. تنمر سيدة.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hassan Iqbal Qassam. Are there any other members of the forum who would like to say, make some comments? Well, okay, I see none. I would like now to, I will make my closing statement after we hear the comments. So I would like now to see whether there are members. Yes, Mr. Kenneth Deer, and then I'd like to also ask Mr. Ben Koisaba. I only will ask for two additional comments. We have, if we can finish the session by now, we will have our closing ceremony, and the whole afternoon will be free for you. So let's try to see if we can manage it this time. Yes, Mr. Kenneth Deer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm speaking as the I wear many hats, but I'm speaking as the coordinator of the Indigenous Caucus this year, and I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank the permanent forum members for their being so open to the Indigenous peoples, making themselves available to us, and I think that we've worked out and having a very good relationship between the caucus and the permanent and the permanent forum members. I also like to thank the Secretariat for all their efforts and help. Without the Secretariat, I don't, you know, we wouldn't be able to work so comfortably here inside the UN. I also like to thank DOSIP for all their help, and DOSIP, who come all the way from Switzerland here to assist Indigenous people. We like to give thanks to DOSIP. There's a list of people I'd like to or organizations I'd like to thank. The World Council of Churches for allowing us to use the church center across the street. IFGIA, the United Nations Voluntary Fund, the Swiss Fund for getting people here to this meeting. We'd like to thank the Navajo Nation and the Haudenosaunee for financing the efforts of the Indigenous Caucus to meet. And also all the volunteers that we have here who are making it easier for the Indigenous people to operate. We'd also like to like to say that the Permanent Forum has taken on an enormous amount of work in the coming year. I've never seen such a busy list of work that the Permanent Forum members have to take, and we're looking forward to next year, wherever we're going to meet next year. We're looking forward to all the reports and all the work of the Permanent Forum next year. I think the work of the Permanent Forum is getting more and more impressive as the years go by. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kenneth Deere, for those very encouraging words. Now I'd like to call on Mr. Koisaba, Ben Koisaba, who is the co-chairing the Global Indigenous Peoples Caucus. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the Permanent Forum, members of the Indigenous community who are represented here, on my own behalf and on behalf of the Global Caucus, I would want to take this opportunity to thank the Chair and the members of the Permanent Forum for the tremendous work they've done, not only this year but for the past years, to make sure that some of the issues that we discuss here are put into documentation and recommendations made, which we've already seen being implemented, and those that have been said today, we have all the hopes that they will be pushed forward. I would also want to thank the Indigenous nations and peoples for the active and interactive engagement that I've had during these sessions here and during the side events, which have enriched the process of sharing information and experiences that are going to enrich our struggles for recognition. I would want to also thank the donors and government delegations that were represented here, and would want to urge all partners to seek more opportunities to engage Indigenous people through in-depth consultation and opportunities for ensuring that the role, responsibilities, and their prior informed consent is sought before any action is taken that touches on the lives of Indigenous peoples. Madam Chair, one issue that came out during this session is the fact that many Indigenous peoples and nations thought they were going to have more opportunities to express their feelings, present their statements, and therefore get a lot of their information and thoughts included in this forum. Madam Chair, I beg to ask members of the forum to allow those of us, to allow statements of those of us that were not able to issue statements be included in the final report that is going to be drafted by this session of the Permanent Forum. Madam Chair and the members of the forum, with those few remarks, I would want to thank everybody and hope that the next forum will be more inclusive, more interactive, and more informing for the common good of the Indigenous peoples and nations of this world. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ben Koisaba, who is the co-chair, one of the co-chairs of the Global Indigenous Peoples Caucus. I would like to see whether there are governments, member states who would like to say a few words, or No? Okay. In that case, I think we can proceed now to the statement. Okay. I'll just move on to the closing statement that I will make, and then we will go to the closing ceremonies. There are very many indigenous groups here who would like to be involved in the closing ceremony. So let me just go with the closing statement that I am going to say before you. Distinguished members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, distinguished observers from member states, indigenous peoples organizations, the intergovernmental system, non-governmental organizations, the academia, media, indigenous sisters and brothers. We have come to the closing of the 8th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues for 2009. We had a very long 2 weeks and have achieved many things. Each of the agenda items have provided important insights. We started the session by focusing on the Permanent Forum's recommendations on economic and social development, indigenous women, and the second international decade of the world's indigenous peoples. We heard from the representative of Mr. John Ragi, the Secretary General Special Representative, on the issue of human rights and transnational corporations and other business enterprises. We heard that while most states had adopted human rights standards, there was still considerable legal and policy incoherence at the domestic and international levels. Further, there had to be a better understanding of indigenous people's experiences, and that states had a duty to provide more effective protection to all people, including indigenous peoples, against corporate-related harm. In terms of indigenous women, it is absolutely necessary that the protection of their rights be affirmed as set out in the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Further, the brunt of the violence that is evident globally impacts entire indigenous communities, degrading the women and their communities. We heard the representative of the Finnish Sami youth and the member of the delegation of Finland who gave a very strong statement on Sami women. And I echo these words, that there is increased expectation for women and girls to perform well within society while at the same time preserving their indigenous identity. And this can only be achieved by strengthening the gender perspectives in our lives and also in our governance structures. The agenda item on human rights continues to be an important area again at this session, with many people signing up to the speaker's list. We heard from Mr. James Anaya, the Special Rapporteur on the Situation of Human Rights and Fundamental Freedoms of Indigenous Peoples, Carlos Morales, the Vice Chairperson of the Expert Mechanism on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and Les Malizer, who was the rapporteur for the Permanent Forum's expert group meeting on Article 42 of the Declaration, which had met in January this year. Mr. Malizer stressed the importance of the Declaration as an instrument to motivate states to comply with human rights standards, and that states should begin a national dialogue with indigenous peoples on human rights, using the Declaration as a guide, while national human rights institutions and indigenous peoples' institutions must be encouraged to fully respect and implement the Declaration. Climate change and related issues dominated the half-day discussion on the Arctic, as Ms. Patricia Cochran, the president of the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, said that what happened in the Arctic affected the rest of the world. Some of the issues covered included interest in the region by industry, shipping countries, tourism operators, and Western academics for its seas and other natural resources. The environmental issues in the region are of major concern, with heavy metals, mercury, and other contaminants being spread in the air, water, and food chain. At the same time, there are important indigenous governance arrangements that could serve as a good practice model, such as indigenous regional governments and indigenous peoples organizations. In the in-depth dialogues, officials from the Office of the High Commissioner on Human Rights, Food and Agriculture Organization, United Nations Development Programme, the United Nations Population Fund, the Department of Economic and Social Affairs, and the International Fund for Agricultural Development discussed their approaches and challenges to incorporate the goals of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples and the UNDG guidelines on indigenous peoples' issues into their policies and programs, and to convince key government partners to do the same. There were a number of comments and questions to these agencies. Overall, the dialogues gave us more information about the work of these agencies. However, concerns were also expressed that there might still be a view among some agencies that indigenous peoples were seen more as beneficiaries and subjects of studies, and further, it was unclear how some agencies interacted with indigenous peoples as partners or active agents of their own development and cooperation. The economic crisis was also an important part of the session. Mr. Jomo Sundaram, Assistant Secretary General, DESA, said the global financial crisis had created major challenges and serious social consequences. For example, it is expected that the number of working poor will increase by 200 million and those formerly unemployed to rise by more than 50 million. Government social spending was at risk, and there was growing unrest as living standards and social protections declined and extreme poverty rose. While everyone could work together to bring sustainable solutions, cooperation was lacking. Indigenous peoples would face an uphill battle over protection of their natural resources, particularly water. Indigenous peoples are the custodians of land, water, and a variety of other resources, but water was becoming a commodity rather than obligation of governments, and indigenous peoples would find themselves under a lot of pressure. I would like to particularly thank Mr. Nicolas Lume, the Mayan sacerdote, who came here to speak about the Mayan prophecy and perspectives on the way the world is affected by the global economic crisis and the climate change crisis. I think for many of us, these kinds of words from an elder should really be taken into serious consideration and should urge us to practice our own indigenous values and perspectives as we relate to all our relations and with Mother Earth. The forum also reported on its mission to Paraguay and Bolivia, which took place 25 April to 6 May this year. The forum experts met with victims of forced labor and servitude, members of the Cattle Ranchers Association, various government officials, representatives of NGO, and senior United Nations staff. The draft report of this mission, which will be released soon, included recommendations for improving compliance of Paraguay and Bolivia with their international human rights law obligations. Permanent Forum member Mr. Lars Anders Behr, when speaking about Bolivia, pointed out that all state institutions must avoid policies that supported or concealed forced labor practices. All departmental policies were to be implemented with indigenous peoples' free, prior, and informed consent. In order to strengthen the institutions, the Bolivian government should provide resources to the Ministry of Labor, Employment, and Social Security to carry out labor investigations in the Chaco region. Moreover, inspectors should receive human rights training supported by United Nations agencies. Perhaps most important, the forum must establish a follow-up strategy with the United Nations country team in Bolivia and with the Office of the Commission for Human Rights to promote indigenous people's rights. The observer for the Bolivian government said enslavement of the Guarani was a painful reality for a country that had arisen from indigenous people and sought to end racial and cultural discrimination. He welcomed the recommendations and pledged to investigate ways to best channel them. In conclusion, this eighth session has again provided us an opportunity to hear and learn from one another, and these dialogues will greatly assist us to advance indigenous people's rights and issues at the international level. Of course, at the national, regional, and local community levels, the challenges remain. We must all be committed to strongly engage all stakeholders in our work of improving the lives of indigenous peoples. We need to work towards developing close cooperation, where possible, with UN agencies and governments who have the resources to help us realize our self-determining rights as set out in the UN Declaration. I would like to thank all of you for your interventions, suggestions, and your ongoing commitment to the Permanent Forum. I would like to apologize once again to those who have not been called, but as you can see, we did the best we can in accommodating as many as we can. I would like to thank all my colleagues in the Permanent Forum members and the Secretariat who have worked hard to make this session successful. The work that has been demanded from us is tremendous, and as you can see, we have been meeting from 8:30 until 8 o'clock in the evening. So to all of you, I would like to say goodbye to you all, but before I do that, I would like to also thank all of the donors who have contributed to making all the different activities within the year possible. And in particular, I would like to really thank again NORAD and the Christensen Fund for the support they have given to the expert group meeting on extractive industries. I would like to reiterate the thanks that was mentioned by Kenneth for DOSIP, the World Council of Churches, IFGIA, but I would also like to particularly thank the colleagues from the Department of Public Information who have been providing the daily reports of our sessions. You can go into the website and see that every person who spoke has been reflected in the reports that they are making. So I would really like to thank all of them. No doubt we will have big challenges to face because of all the crises that we are talking about, but I hope that I hope you have the strength and the tenacity to address this crisis, and we will come back again in 2010 and discuss how we can further support each other. Thank you very much and goodbye. I would like now to call on our colleagues who have offered to make the closing ceremony. So if I can beg the indulgence of our interpreters, after we finish this, then we still have time. Okay. So I call on the Innu Nation, who will make a prayer and a statement, Francois Belfleur, Marie-Lise Belfleur, and Armand McKenzie. And then I also call on Robert White Mountain, who will make a prayer with Hanakapa Lakota, Midnight Strong Society, Heart Society. And finally, I will call on the Nepal Federation of Indigenous Nationalities and Indigenous Parliamentarians from Nepal to perform two songs. So I'll first call on the chief of the Innu Nation, Francois Belfleur.
Je voudrais remercier le président de cette assemblée, puis je remercie aussi toutes les représentants du peuple qui font partie de l'Organisation des Nations Unies. Je me présente François Belfleur, je suis chef de la nation Innu Natashquan au niveau du Québec. Je suis très heureux d'être parmi vous aujourd'hui. C'est la première fois que j'assiste à une telle assemblée, puis je trouve que c'est un mécanisme qui est essentiel, à l'humanité pour travailler sur les crises que les gouvernements ont établies dans leurs relations avec leur peuple. La Première Nation Innu de Natashquan sur la côte nord du Québec a décidé, il y a quelques années, d'abandonner la confrontation pour adopter la résolution de la voie du partenariat d'égal à égal avec les Québécois. Il y a de la place pour tout le monde. Il y a de la place pour le partage. Des terres et des ressources en autant qu'on respecte ce que nous sommes. Voilà l'essentiel du message que m'ont livré les aînés de ma communauté lorsque je suis devenu chef. Nous sommes capables ensemble, Innu, comme Québécois, tous les peuples autochtones et non autochtones, de développer des amitiés et de véritables partenariats. C'est ce que nous avons fait. Ces partenariats, nous les avons d'abord développés en moins de 2 ans avec le gouvernement du Québec et particulièrement avec le premier ministre du Québec, M. Jean Charest, ce qui a fait preuve d'une grande ouverture d'esprit à l'égard de nos ambitions. Par l'entremise de la Société d'État d'Hydro-Québec, nous avons négocié pendant 1 an une entente autour de la réalisation du complexe hydroélectrique de la rivière Romaine. Nous voyons dans ce projet une occasion formidable de bâtir un avenir meilleur pour nos enfants et de raffermir leur fierté d'appartenir à une grande nation. L'entente entoura la réalisation de ce projet avec ses 145 millions de dollars versés sur 50 ans. Nous permettra de soutenir notre développement et d'améliorer substantiellement l'éducation, la formation professionnelle des membres de notre communauté, particulièrement nos jeunes. Dans le secteur de la foresterie, notre communauté du camionnage et de la construction des infrastructures, de leur réserver un avenir meilleur et digne de briser le cercle vicieux de la dépendance, de la pauvreté et du chômage. Nous éprouvons le besoin viscéral de marcher sur les terres de nos ancêtres, la terre-mère qui a vu grandir depuis le début des temps les enfants de la grande nation Innu. Et nous sommes également fiers, comme membres du peuple Innu, de contribuer par la production d'une énergie propre à la préservation de la planète. L'énergie électrique de la Romaine pourrait remplacer au moins 9 mégatonnes de gaz à effet de serre produites annuellement, l'équivalent de la production de près de 3 millions d'automobiles. Nous avons également, dans la foulée du projet Romaine, acquis une scierie en partenariat avec des entreprises privées québécoises et québécoises, scierie où les Innu de Natashquan sont actionnaires majoritaires. Le gouvernement du Québec nous a octroyé 115 000 mètres cubes de bois qui découleront du défrichement des zones inondables liées au projet de la Romaine. Le projet nous permettra aussi de redécouvrir nos territoires ancestraux aujourd'hui inaccessibles et de nous réapproprier et de nous y ressourcer. Le complexe hydroélectrique, la scierie, auquel il faut ajouter des investissements fédéraux de 5,7 millions de dollars à notre école, pourrait procurer un emploi à tous ceux et celles des 1000 Innu de Natashquan et 200 hors territoire qui sont en mesure de travailler. Nous ne voulons jamais plus de 43% de chômage général et 110% de chômage chez nos jeunes. Renfermer notre autonomie et notre identité par une personnalité économique renforcée, nous réapproprier notre territoire, protéger la planète tout en conservant nos droits fondamentaux comme Première Nation, voilà quels sont les objectifs que nous poursuivons. Et je vous signale que parallèlement à cette embellie sur le plan économique, les Innu de Natashquan sont une des Premières Nations assises à la table des négociations avec le gouvernement du Québec et le gouvernement fédéral. Afin de finaliser une entente, l'approche commune qui exprimera notre droit inhérent à l'autonomie gouvernementale et à notre volonté de réaliser un partage réel du territoire de Nitassinan avec nos partenaires québécois. En conclusion, nous sommes à la recherche de toutes les occasions pour prouver à la face du monde, pour nous prouver à nous-mêmes, pour prouver à nos jeunes, surtout de la nation Innu, est capable de grandes réalisations et qui doivent être fiers d'être membres. Nous avons décidé de prendre toute notre place, la nôtre aujourd'hui, comme dans le sillon de l'histoire avec ténacité, enthousiasme, intelligence. Nous allons faire mentir le destin tragique imaginé et dessiné par d'autres, destin qui nous dépouillait de nos terres, de notre âme et de notre cœur. Merci pour le sens.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'd like now to call on Robert White Mountain. We don't have much time now. Yeah, okay. Okay, a very short prayer, and then I'd like Robert White Mountain to come here to do his prayer too. Okay.
Chemdun udat ndwen madnan munjis kasno utegata chichi inu mnjuya chichi mnbunya chichi mnnyuyat mate mawen chena tau kota wino chena tau kota wino Nimi tune ni chikano, nimi tune ni chikano. Creator, I pray for all of us here. May we travel safely back to our families, to our homes. We thank you for all the blessings you gave us, bestowed upon us. Thank you, Creator.
Thank you very much, our brothers from the Innu Nation. I'd like now to call on Robert White Mountain from the Hunakapa Lakota to give us his closing prayer. You have the floor, sir. Yeah.
Thank you.
Midaki api. The remarks here which I said to here much alone. Lakota, Hunkpapa Lakota Oyatiki. That's a T. And then, a particular, a pen a cheese that kills it. And then, a particular Oyatiki and a little techie kills it. And then, and that's a Chima Hilton, you know, that's a. Madam Chair, if we a permanent form, I'm just a common man. I'm from the Hunkpapa Lakota Oyate in South Dakota. And I thank the Madam Chair and the Permanent Forum for allowing me to say the prayers. I'm a very big honor. I didn't expect this at all. It's the first time coming here. And I really feel honored to be around all the people all over this world and to have the chance to meet some of you. And the place I come from is I represent the Midnight Strongheart Society, which is also called the Chante Tinza Choka Kolakichi of the Hunkpapa Lakota. And I just want to say a few things before I say the prayer, is that on my mother's side, I come from Sitimbu. On my father's side, I come from Rain in the Face. And ever since 1876, I can see that our people have gone through a lot of changes. And our people were responsible for defending the nation when General George Armstrong Custer came to our camp. And since then, our people have been subjected to many, many trials and tribulations since then, since that battle. And today, when I say this prayer, I say it with all my heart, because The message that I want to get out there is that I come from the Hunkpapa Lakota, and everything that's going on in South Dakota and other places around where the Native people live, it shows very clearly that somehow, some way, the war with the Lakota and other indigenous people on this land is really not over. Because my people live in five poorest counties in the United States. There's been military surges put upon our people just as recently as a year ago. And there's other things that the youth are being criminalized and taken to prisons. So many reasons that of why this war is not over. And today, officially, in front of all of you, I would like to call a war to the end, and I like to call an end to the Indian Wars. Because in one way or another, the Indian Wars they're not over. And if we really want to bring the Native people to the table, we have to call an end to this war. It's been going on a very long time. Our people still live in a concentration camps called reservations. It's like you call an end to the Jewish war, the German war, and they rescue the Jewish people from the concentration camps and help them build new lives. Our people are still living within the concentration camps, and they told us, build your homes, build your families. Don't say nothing that over 200 million people have died here. Don't say nothing. Keep quiet. I'm sorry, but I can't keep quiet no more. Because in the last 21 days, 23 of my young people have ended their lives. So, I can't keep quiet. I have to call an end to this war. Because we're not the enemy. My brother served in the military, 5 tours, Vietnam. I served in the military. My families all served in the military to protect this country. I just want to end to the war so that we can start rebuilding, we can maybe heal, because it's never been acknowledged that there's been a Holocaust on this land. And I want to open a door so that the people, the government, we can talk. We don't have to act and pretend like it never happened, but that we could heal and that we could build. Because I am also doing things on a reservation. I don't just talk about this. I'm doing things that can help our people to heal. Because we suffer from PTSD severely, post-traumatic stress disorder, from being hunted down like animals, and bounties on our heads. And now we still suffer today. So I have an institute that we instituted to be able to take care of this. So that's there in place. We're not just talking. We're doing things. I appreciate all of you being here for listening. And appreciate Madam Chair for allowing me this time. Because it needed to be said. We need to end the Indian Wars. And we need to go on. And bring unity to the world. Because our young people need to be a part of this mix. Because they bring very powerful prayers that can help this earth to heal. And they don't need to be railroaded into prison no more. But they need to be supported in their ceremony. Because Native people have a way to help this world to be able to bring a balance into and a healing to this earth. We have the ceremonies, we have the songs that can help. So I thank you again for this time. But we must end the Indian Wars so we can go on and heal. I'll send a prayer.
Contact.
much of us. And in particular, that's Oyateki United Nations, that's Uchoza Nichi Mochino, that's a Wien, which has a Chima Yucha. And it's a particular Uchoza Nichi Mochino, that's a Ushmalo, that's a Ushmalo. Ushmalo. Now that's a Aloha, that's a Moji, that's a all my relations.
Thank you very much. I'd like to warmly thank Mr. Robert White Mountain for his prayer and also his statement. I would like now to call on the Nepal Federation of Indigenous Peoples. Are they here? They're not here? Oh, they're here. Okay. I would like to thank the interpreters for their work. They're not going to stay on because we're just going to have the song. But thank you very much for all the support that you have given to us.
Namaste. Namaste from Nepal. We have 9 Constituent Assembly members, or the parliamentarians, and members, representatives from NEFIN, Nepal Federation of Indigenous Nationalities, Nepal Federation, Nepal Foundation for the Development of Indigenous Nationalities, and Nepal Indigenous Women Federation, as well as BASE Nepal, and representative from Kirat Samling Language and Culture Development. First, we will be presenting our new national anthem that was written in 2006. We are proud of our national anthem because this is inclusive and recognizes the diverse populations of Nepal. So at this time, I would like to request everyone to stand up for the national anthem.
Bhagavani yote mana nipari sarva bhoma paini ekamechi mahakali prakriti ka koti koti sampada ko achala viharu karagata hi sotantara hatala jnana bhumi santi bhumi tare papa jimala apandayu pyaro hambu matri bhumi nepala Bahujati bhasha dharma sanskriti chhati chala agragami rashtra hamro jaye jaye Nepala.
Thank you. Next we have Nepali folk song.
Re sam ti re sam ti re 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 re
Colleagues who have done the prayers, our brothers from the Innu Nation, Robert White Mountain, and the Nepali indigenous peoples who belong to the Nepal Federation of Indigenous Nationalities, and the indigenous parliamentarians from Nepal. Thank you very much all, and we would like now to adjourn this meeting, the eighth session of the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues is now closed. It's adjourned.